Hey, friends, and welcome back to Faith-Filled Woman. This is your host, Kristen, and I have a great conversation for you today. We are talking about redefining hustle in our lives. We're going to talk about how we can still be ambitious, but we can do it God's way. We don't have to keep following the way of the world and how they tell us to move in our business or in our lives. So take a listen. I know you're going to get a lot out of today's episode. Welcome to Faith-Filled Woman, a podcast designed for Christian women eager to deepen their faith and shine God's light in every aspect of their lives. Each week, we'll delve into practical strategies, inspiring stories, and biblical wisdom to equip you with the tools you need to navigate life's challenges and grow deeper in your faith. From finding calm in the chaos, forming deep Christian friendships, to everyday ways to connect with God, we'll cover it all. Hi, I'm your host, Kristen. I'm an encourager, a faith-led entrepreneur, a mom, and a wife. Let's be encouraged in our everyday lives as we let our faith guide us, fuel us, and fill us with God's incredible peace, wisdom, and joy in our lives. Erin Harrigan. She's a Christian business coach and strategist for high-achieving sisters in Christ with established businesses or professional careers. She keeps them accountable to their God-given mission in the marketplace by teaching them to redefine hustle, to emulate Jesus so they can work with clarity, serenity, and fulfillment. She's also the podcast host of Redefining Hustle, and she's the author of the book Pursuing Success God's Way. And I'm so excited for this conversation because we both talk to women and try to help them with understanding that we don't have to hustle and hurry. That is culture's definition of what life should be. And we really can redefine life to live the way God has designed it for us. And it's not in such a hustle kind of a lifestyle. So I'm excited. I think you're going to get a lot out of this conversation. So welcome, Erin, to the podcast.
Oh, Kristen, it's such an honor to be here. I'm really excited to see where the Holy Spirit takes us today.
Oh, absolutely. So Erin, why don't you share with us a little bit about your own journey? I know, your faith journey and then how you're now helping women this way. So I'd love to hear more about that.
So the short version of my story would be ambitious woman gets lost on her way to the top, finds Jesus. He says, why don't you let me drive for a while and you hold this map, which is the Bible. And then after we drive for a while, he says, okay, now I'm ready for you to get off at this exit and go help my ambitious daughters learn what I've taught you. And really, I've been a driver, striver, achievement chaser my whole life. I was the oldest of four to a single mom. We were in and out of poverty. So what that led me to is an incredible work ethic, but also really chasing money as my idol and my savior. And I did that for the bulk of my life. I knew God, I prayed to God, but I never had a personal relationship with Jesus. So fast forward into 2014, I had started a multi-level marketing business in 2010. That was going to be my escape from corporate. Corporate actually let me go in 2012. And so in 2014, 2 years later, I had the company car and the luxury house and all the things, all this outward evidence of success, mm-hmm. which I have been chasing my whole life. But what I didn't have was an inner peace. I didn't have an inner fulfillment. And I couldn't figure out why, Kristen. It was like, am I just not doing enough? Do I not want it badly enough? You know, in multi-level marketing, it's really common to say things like, oh, you have a crack in your belief and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So in October 2014, I reached out to a mentor who I thought would tell me all of those things. But instead, she was so gracious to say, you don't know who you are or whose you are. Do you know Jesus? Mm-hmm. And that day, looking up from where I thought was rock bottom, I thought, I have been self-sufficient and self-reliant and controlled everything in my life. And that had served me to a point, but not to fill the hole that was a Jesus-shaped hole. And so that day I gave my life to him, and that changed everything. It really was him taking over and stripping away so many layers of pride and idolatry to get me to a point where today, for the last 5 years really, I've been coaching high-achieving women just like me to teach them how to do business in a way that honors God, serves his people, but also breaks them free from the world's noise of overachievement.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I think so many women can relate to your story, or at least a part of your story, you know, in the sense of whether we think we're striving for more achievement or more acquiring more, right? Like the next, like you said, the better house, better car, whatever it might be. or the new title, right? The higher title.
Yes.
So even if that's not someone listening, maybe someone else is saying, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. And so, you know, that's kind of been my mission. I think we all, most of us, especially women, but men too, we have all felt that way where I didn't do enough in this day. Mm. I didn't accomplish enough. Like what did I even do today? Or you did a lot, but it still didn't feel like enough. And so I think we can all relate to the feeling of not feeling like we're enough. Like we can't accomplish enough to ever feel, like you said, that peace and that fulfillment. Right. And you explained exactly why. It's because we were designed, right? Mm. As God's children, to have a connection with him. And when we don't have that relationship, that connection with him,
we feel like
something's off, something's missing. Mm. And so I love that that you found that part later in life. And I think it's definitely a journey for all of us. I mean, like you, I mean, I have been a faith believer since I was a little kid, but over each decade and season, it's become deeper. It's become richer. You know, and so it's same as you. It's probably only been the last 10 years that I know God's been seeking me, but that I really started seeking him more, you know, like in my everyday, not just sometimes or some seasons, you know. So he was always important, but he wasn't important the way he is now in my life.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like that's kind of what happened to you as well. And like you said, you realize that, you know, we say God first, but before, a lot of us say that we think God's first, but we're not putting him first in our lives.
That's right. That's right. And it's even hard, you know, speaking to the moms that maybe don't have a business in their home, which, by the way, like that is work in and of itself. Let us just acknowledge that, right? It's so easy for us to put our kids, our marriage, you know, all of those roles that we play, wife, mom, daughter, friend, ahead of the Lord and think that we are doing godly work. Right? Yeah. Because, well, this is where the Lord has placed me and I'm going to pour into these kids. I'm going to pour into my marriage. And please hear me. There is nothing wrong with that. But I think what happens is we then shorten our time with the Lord and we put that to the side because we're so busy doing what we see is the Lord's work and serving others. And he is such a, oh my gosh, he's such a good father. And you know, Jesus and Holy Spirit, like they just want to be in conversation with us, whether that's in the car or while you're changing the diaper or you're making dinner or whatever. But we often put that aside because we think, well, I don't have time to sit for 5 minutes and be in the Word and pray and seek him. And my advice to you is, yeah, you do. And I promise that when you give him that time, like he multiplies that in a way that your family misses nothing. He strengthens and he gives you that power and he expands all of that in such a way that he blesses that obedience because he just wants to be in relationship with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, excuse me. I've definitely found the days that I put in the time, right? I make more time for connection, for a relationship. And, you know, one in the morning, and most of the time I do in the morning, but let's be honest, there are days still that something doesn't quite go the same way and I do it a little later. But then throughout the day, I'm trying to be in conversation with him. And it's just many, you know, I call it micro gratitude, micro thankfulness, but it's those little things. It's just me constantly being thankful and saying something to him or like, Lord, just, you know, can you just pray over this? And so it's just a dialogue, a constant dialogue. But the days where I start my day off getting in scripture or prayer, a devotional, whatever the time is, quiet time. And then if I'm set all day to keep pulling myself back, my day goes so much different than the time that maybe I've gotten a little bit more distant from the process or doing my prayer journal, you know, because like most women, there's some ebb and flows, right? Where I'm really good at it for a while. And then I don't even know what happens, but I realize, gosh, I've done my devotional every day, but I didn't write in my prayer journal for 2 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. So just certain things kind of shift and not meaning to. And so if anybody can relate to that, like that happens to me still too, but 100% there's a difference in my day. There's a difference in my demeanor and there's a difference in how I interact with everyone else in my life when I show up and say, God is going to be on the forefront of my day.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? That's huge. One of the things that I talk to my clients about is bookending your day, right? Like starting and ending your day with the Lord. And you're right, Kristen. I mean, I know because I had gotten out of the practice recently and I could feel it. Like I just was foggy. My head was all over the place. My thoughts were everywhere. I couldn't seem to focus. Even my interactions with my husband, you know, even my precious puppy, because we're empty nest now, but even my precious puppy, I was getting frustrated with. And I'm like, hold on a second. What is happening? Oh, right. I hadn't spent time with the Lord.
Yeah.
And it really does position you to show up as he made you to be, because he didn't make us to be in chaos. Right. He didn't make us to be worrying and anxious and all of the things that we have. But the world is so loud and so noisy. And he invites us to come back, which is to me the most beautiful piece. Like, he already knows that we're going to get off track. And yet he constantly invites us to come back. He pursues us. I love that you said that earlier, right? Like, God was chasing after you, and he pursues us because he loves us that much.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's so true. And let's jump into talking about, you know, you found yourself hustling, you found yourself, you know, just trying to get to that next rung, if you will. And, you know, you finally said to God, like, enough, like, I need you, right? Like, you basically said, like, okay, God, I'm here for it. But how did things shift for you? And then how have you been able to teach some of the things you learned with going from hustle to rest and grace and all of those things?
The very first things that began to shift as soon as I gave my life to Jesus was, number one, I had this insatiable desire to be in the Word. So, like, I worked from home. And so after the kids got on the bus, I would just sit in front of my fireplace, which I know sounds like such a luxury, right? Like, all this time to sit. But I at that point, I wanted to know so much. I wanted to be in the Word. So that was the first thing that shifted. The second thing that shifted is I began to see the patterns that I had had my whole life around the worldly definition of hustle and constantly moving and having to be in control of everything and white knuckling and holding on. You know, there's this, for my 80, my fellow kids who grew up in the 80s, there's this 38 special song, and the lyric goes, hold on loosely, but don't let go. If you cling too tightly, you'll lose control. And that's exactly what it felt like. I was holding on so tightly, but nothing was moving in the direction that fulfilled me. So that starting to see some of those patterns so that I could step back and take a breath and say, oh, wow, Lord, like, you're really showing me something here. So then what should I do? Where would you have me go? And beginning to understand his direction. Those were some of the immediate things that happened. Over the next 4 years after I gave my life to Christ, he just continued to show me. We went through a financial crisis. We went through Financial Peace University. You know, he delivered us through that, you know, from 2014 to 2019. And I just saw him move in such amazing ways, in ways that I think I would have overlooked before, in ways that maybe I thought, well, if I let go of this, how will this turn out? But he was showing me, like, every time I let him go do his work, because he is God and I am not, he would show me something would happen. And I would go, oh, like, this is what it feels like to let you lead. And it was, I love how you said, like, the micro moments, it was these little tiny things, sometimes big, but sometimes small, that just led me to understand, like, wait a minute, he does care for me and he does love me. And this is all in his hands. And if I would just let him lead, like Jesus take the wheel for real, man, how much more calm and peaceful my life would be. And so those were the immediate things. And then I started interacting with women who would have these would say the same things that I used to say, like, I'm doing all the work, but I'm not seeing the progress, or I have the progress, but it's never enough, or I'm going for the next thing. But then once I reach it, I'm immediately like, okay, what's next? Like, nothing is ever fulfilling me. And God was like, tap, tap, tap. Like, these are the women that I want you to work with. Yeah. And so that's what he began to do. And what transpired from there was starting my podcast in 2019 and writing my book and publishing that in 2020 and coaching just a few women here and there as he was sort of formulating, like, this will be your framework and this is how you will coach them. And it just ran. I wouldn't say ran. It flowed from there because, you know, we're an instant gratification society. So I would have loved for it to be like, boom, done. We got it all in place. But he still had a lot to teach me. I mean, I'm still learning. Yeah. And that's really what led me to where I am, because I think that we best teach from what we know and what we've experienced.
Absolutely. And I'm still on that journey because I've, much like you, I transitioned entire industries as well, you know, in the more recent, only in the last 3 years. So I'm still on that, you know, like really redefining and niching down, defining, you know, and I have to be patient with myself and say, this is God's timing, know, because some people are like, well, how come? And I'm like, because I was, you know, people kept trying to push me into things, you know, like one, my other podcast for 4 months, you know, I even tweaked it to be more of a business one because one of the companies that I have still have with my mom, but it's, we're not really doing much of it. We really understood how to do SEO and all this stuff, you know, and we built organically, you know, the site to, you know, over 10 million people, like all these things. But I'm like, but my heart isn't there. Like, so I tried that for a bit, but everything I kept trying, I was like, it's wrong. It's not what, if I want to do that, I'd already have a web development company. Like, I was like, this, God's leading me down a different path. And it's just taking longer because he's preparing me and he's equipping me for something different, different work. And so I've had to be patient with myself and I have to keep reminding myself that when you're on a new part of a journey, on a new calling, right, it's going to take time. It's not instantaneous where you go, this is my new podcast or my new mentoring and coaching program. Or, and then magically it just works out, right? It's a process and there's an uncovering and there's a learning. And so I love that you said that because that's the truth of the matter, right? Is we are on this constant journey and a lot of us are going to be called to different things at different times.
Yeah.
And we're not going to have experience. And that's the people God calls, right, in our lives. And so, you know, I also experienced, you know, that I still am experiencing that as well, which is moving into these new areas that he was calling me to for a long time, but I didn't say yes fully, you know, committed until a couple of years ago. I was dabbling, right? I was getting my feet wet. And yes, I love it. So what would you say that the women that you've now been helping, you know, through the podcast and your book and through your coaching programs, what would you say is either their biggest aha or what is it that you're able to share with them that lets them start having the mindset shift?
The biggest aha that I see, two things happen. Number one, when they finally embrace that they don't have to work at this chaotic pace that they've always been used to. That is really, I mean, it's taken them far. It's served them in some way, but clearly they're still unfulfilled, right? I see them take this deep breath and it's like they finally exhale. Like, oh, I don't have to do this by myself. I can allow the Lord to lead and I don't have to compromise what my bank account says or, you know, the goals that I set. It's this sigh of relief that says, I don't have to be self-reliant anymore. That's one of the biggest things that happened. And then the second thing that happens, which really is completely why I know the Lord gave me my four keys framework that he gave me, is that they understand that their achievements, the commas and the paycheck, the client roster, the following, all of the worldly measurements, which are real measurements, like, let's be honest, but that doesn't define them. Just like, for example, if you don't have a business and your work is being mom, and like we said earlier, that is work, that doesn't solely define you, right? God defines you. You know, we know this in his word that we are his workmanship and that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works that he predestined for us, right? That he knit us together in our mother's womb, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we know that quite well. His word tells us that none of the things that we do, none of the titles that we hold, none of the roles that we play, none of that defines us. And when we break that chain, it is an incredible peace and calm and joy that happens. Because now we realize it doesn't matter if we screwed everything up. The Lord loves us. We are his. We are the daughters of the Most High King. That is that second place where I see my clients break free. And then from there, then they can say, okay, Lord, now show me your direction. Okay, Lord, how do I put this into action with discipline? Okay, what will I learn from this that will continue to develop me? And that calm and that peace. And listen, it's a daily decision. I just want to be clear. Like, you don't just decide that and then like, boom, everything is beautiful. It's a daily decision to walk in the center of that because left to our own devices, Kristen, we're going to do it our way. It's just how we're made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's so true. And I just did a little mini episode on my podcast, and I've talked about rest and hustle culture plenty of times, but I just shared a new little tidbit today, which is relevant to this too. It was Jessica Connelly's post. You know, she just shared one recently. She's an author, if people don't know her, and does other things, but she's basically talking about, you know, so many women say like, well, I don't feel like I have permission to rest. Right. And so I've talked about this idea as well.
Yeah.
But she added to it, and it was really interesting. She said, but we don't need permission to rest. One, we can't get it from other people, but God's not going to give it to us either, because he's already given us the gift.
That's
of rest.
Right.
Like you talked about Psalm 27, and she said, you know, it talks about kind of like, we don't have to basically, I don't remember the exact verse, but toil from morning till night, right? Like we don't have
That's
to.
Right.
Over. But then he says, I give rest to those I love.
Yeah.
And then she explains that most of us, we've already been given the invitation. God's designed it into the way he designed us into ebb and flow of the day, ebb and flow of the week. And so all we have to do is receive the gift of rest and of not hustling. But most of us don't, because we're still trying to live the way that the culture has told us is the way we should be.
That's right. Yeah.
It's just, if we could just remember that, like God's already told us, like, it's okay. Like you need rest, and you just come to me, come to your day and like lay it all down and I'll give it
to you,
you know? And
we
still, like you said, it's every day, just like the renewing of our minds. It's every day deciding we're going to show up and be in relation with God. It's every day showing up and saying, I'm going to look to God for what happens in my day, right? We're going to still make a schedule, but we're going to know that the schedule, we want to hear from God, you know, hear from him to know, what is it in our day that's most meaningful? What's the thing that he most wants us to get done? And the rest can wait, right?
I heard an author say, I think it's Veronica Hahnenbach. I'm trying to remember her name, but she said, God can do more with our faithful rest than we can do with our faithful, that's in quotes there, faithful work. God gifted rest. It's the longest commandment, right? That he talks about. He gifted the Sabbath to us. And yet we have such a distorted view of what rest means and looks like and has to look like and how that impacts the rest of our life. And if we could embrace that rest, and that looks different for everyone, right? But understanding that rest is a gift, he's already given us permission. Rest is there to trust him in that seventh day, right? You know, you'll work for six, it says, and that seventh is rest. But so often we're working 24/7 and then we don't rest. And then what happens is we're not showing up in our best to glorify him in all that we're doing. I think it's so, it's such the worldly view. And it's funny because the pendulum swings, doesn't it, Kristen? Like, like keep going, run with the big dogs. Like, who are these dogs? I don't know. go get yours, go get more, like make it happen, right? And then it swings to like this anti-hustle, which for some of us, which I know we'll get into the hustle idea in a minute, but like that also is not really where we want to be, because we kind of like the pace. We like going, we like the movement in our businesses and in our lives. But rest is part of that, period. We don't have to ask permission. He's, like you said, he's already given it to us and he gifted it to us, and it is a commandment.
Yeah. And I think for anybody, you know, that's not sure, like by rest, it's not just, you know, sleeping, or it's not just going and laying on the sofa. We're talking about resting your mind, allowing your mind to be cleared from what you worked on so it can process and do things. It's reconnecting with God. It's connecting with family or people you care about. It's doing something
enjoyable
because he made this amazing earth and all its beauty. So rest is doing not the work. So it's everything else. It's the rest of life. And so I think some people think, I don't have time to rest. I don't have time to go to sleep. Well, I'm not saying it's just sleeping. Even the Sabbath isn't just for, it's not for napping necessarily, although that's okay, but it's for reconnecting. It's for rekindling. Mm. It's for, you know, stepping away from the toils of the week and actually allowing yourself to be renewed. And so, you know, for anybody that isn't realizing it, it's not about, you know, just the whole idea of self-care, of certain types of self-care, or or laying on the sofa with a book, which that's lovely too. It is so much more than that. And I think sometimes we think rest is something, a very specific thing, but I think it's actually so much more than that.
Well, and for me, it all comes back to how is God defining it? Like, right. We so often take words and our culture, our world, our society has completely taken that out of context or has made it like so narrow, like, well, rest means taking a nap. Well, I'm not a napper, right? No. How is God defining it? And going back to what we said earlier, the only way that we can truly know what he meant or his character around a word or like rest is to be in the word, is to get to know him. So we've got to be seeking him first, right? This is what Jesus said. And so it's seeking him for how does he want to define rest? How does he want to define our schedule? I love what you said, Kristen, about like, yes, make your plan, but it's about, you know, Lord, I've made this schedule, but I lay it at the foot of the cross. Have your way with it. Show me where you want me focused.
That's right.
Because not everything that's on our plan is really relevant to his plan. And we surrender that. So it really goes back to, for me, how does God define it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And just, you know, before we jump into a little bit more about hustle, I think the other thing is too, what I've come to learn is the work I get done in the day, of course, that can, you know, all of our work can be very important. And of course, it hopefully is in some ways. But I know that the people I interact with, whether that's through the work or whether that's through running to the grocery store or whatever it might be, normally it's the people, right? My family, I'm going to go, my dad doesn't live far, but I'm going to go see him right after this. Like, it's just, it's investing in people. It's investing in God's timing. Where is he putting us? And in whose life is he putting us? And so most of the time I have to realize that I have work to do, but often the work I'm doing is not the most important thing in that particular day. It's the people and the interactions and the conversations and the way I'm serving. And so I try to be very careful to remind myself of that on a daily basis.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. Okay. So what else would you share with us about the hustling, you know, and how do we get out of the hustle when, to your point, some of us, it's so ingrained for 15 years, 20 years, 25, 40, 50 years, like, it's ingrained in us. It's kind of become a part of ourselves at this point for a lot of us women, you know, and of course men too. So how do we start? I mean, of course, seeking God, spending time with him, but in a tangible way, how do you help these ladies step out of hustle? And, you know, it's a process, of course.
Yeah. So back when I started my podcast, it was called the Hustle with Heart podcast. And the reason it was called that is because a friend of mine had said, well, you know, we still hustle, but we hustle with heart. And I sat with the Lord on that. And what Holy Spirit revealed to me was that heart stood for helping entrepreneurs align results to God's truth. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I called the podcast, the Hustle with Heart podcast. And then when I wrote my book, the subtitle is A Practical Guide to Hustle with Heart. And it's really the how-to, right? Mm-hmm. But over time, what I was hearing people say about hustle really started to bother me. Like, I would hear things like, hustle till your haters ask if you're hiring, or be a hustle, right? And so I started to talk to some people and say, what does hustle mean to you? Mm-hmm. And I looked at the dictionary, and most of the definitions are very aggressive, frantic, like go get it done. Yeah. But the first definition of hustle is really about working from a place of intention. And so at the same time, I read a book by Melinda Fuller called Obedience Over Hustle. And what she said is, you know, hustle is not in the Bible. You said this earlier, like Jesus was never hurried. He did the work he did. Yeah. But if you look at the chapter of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, you see that Jesus works with big groups and small groups and one-on-one. And he also, right, he takes himself out of the picture and goes to seek his Father, and he steps away into quiet spaces to pray. But he's busy, and he's thriving on this busyness because he's on a mission, right?
Right.
And so what I began to understand from all of that information was that we in the world have completely taken hustle to a different level that it was never meant to be. And therefore, while it doesn't say hustle in the Bible, our view of hustle, of like being busy and doing the things and helping the people and all of that, really could better emulate Jesus, to work with intention, purpose, a sense of timing, meaning he had a very short time frame. He knew that, right? Mm-hmm. But so often our sense of timing isn't aligned to God's sense of timing, right? We think everything has to be done yesterday. But if we work with a sense of timing and we're seeking our Father first, we don't have to be frantic. So what I discovered is that hustle is not the issue. The issue is how we define it. There's that define again, and how we pursue it. And therefore, could we redefine this in a way that allows us to walk out our mission in the marketplace, in life, in family, whatever that is, emulating Jesus? So in other words, we could come to our work, we could come to our roles, we could come to the services and the serving that we do in our life from a place of intention. Like, what is my intention here?
Yes.
Right? Absolutely. What is the purpose God has given me here? How do I do that in God's timing? And what does that look like? And then how do I daily seek him? And all of that became this four keys framework that he gave me, which is like, okay, Lord, how do you define me? How do you define my purpose? How do you define success for me? Right? Is it what is your definition of that success? And then, Lord, how do you direct me? Like, here's what I think has to get done, but how would you direct me to do this? And then being disciplined, because we know that faith without works is dead. We've got to move. We've got to be willing to take a step and allow the Lord to lead us forward or shift us, as you've just been talking about that you're going through. And I know he's shifting me a little bit right now. And then how do we learn from that to develop, to be even going even deeper with the Lord every time? And so that four keys framework, define, direct, discipline, develop, is really what came out of my research with the Lord and with people and the dictionary around hustle, because we have completely taken hustle out of context. Yeah. So it's not hustle isn't the issue, as I said earlier. It's how we define and pursue it. And so I believe that for many of us, God made us ambitious, just like Paul was made ambitious, right? Paul was ambitious. He just was using that in the wrong direction until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And the same is true with us. So we can be ambitious and we can like to, you know, have a lot of things happening, but from what intention and from what purpose? And all of that is when I'm teaching the women that I work with, whether it's my coaching clients or they're listening to my podcast, it's always about, hold on, let's just stop for a second. Why are we doing what we're doing? How has God positioned you for an impact in the kingdom? And how can you best walk out that role, that work, that business, emulating Jesus? Because remember, Kristen and everyone, there are places in your life and there are places in your business where you are going to cross paths with people who don't know Jesus. And you may be the only experience of Jesus that they have. Mm-hmm. So it is vitally important as Christians that we show up in those spaces and in those roles and in that work and in our business, prepared to reflect him, prepared to show up from a place of calm and peace, prepared to, you know, bring calm to our clients' frantic situation. Yeah. Because all of these roles that he's given us ultimately are there so that we can do, that we can walk out the Great Commission to love people and to make disciples. If we're hustling the world's way, A, we don't look any different than them, which we know that the Bible tells us that we are in the world, but not of it. And we aren't supposed to look like the rest of the world. And B, we're not exemplifying what Jesus brought to us in calm and peace, right? And so that's how the Holy Spirit gave me the words redefine hustle and how to position it and to give everyone, but I would say especially women, because we tend to take on a lot, to give us the space to take a deep breath and go, hold on, I'm not in charge here. God, you are in charge. Now tell me how to move. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I think that's so good. And I think you're right. And to your point, it's absolutely, he made so many of us ambitious. He made us want to do more. There's a reason. You know, there's a reason people have desires on their heart. They have dreams in their, you know,
that's
inside
right.
them. You know, and yes, I get it. Maybe somebody has a terrible, dark, okay, that's not what we're talking about, right?
Right.
We're talking about things that are on your heart that you know are from God. And even if you don't know they're from God, you know it's something that keeps coming back. This, the key, you know, you keep having this desire, this dream, and it's
you know, it's tied to something biblical, right? Like, you know, either, you know, the work you're going to do is just great craftsmanship, or you're going to, with the money that you, you know, make from your business, you're going to be able to help, you know, others. You're going to be able to, you know, give even more to the church you go to, you know, whatever it is, right? So there's so much good that can come out of your desires and dreams. And I think sometimes people just sit on it because they don't know how to do it. But a lot of us are ambitious and we have another one and we want to add to stuff. We were designed that way.
That's right. That's right.
And so I love that you talk about that, of redefining hustle. And it, first of all, I think hustle is not a word a woman came up with. We can just admit that. I do believe that. But the point is, it's a word that's in our culture. It's been in our culture for a long time. So I love that, because it's already there and a lot of people are using this word, whether to not be hustling so much. It's really that you're telling us, hey, we can still be, you know, trying to build. We can be kingdom builders, really, is what we're saying.
Yes.
And, you know, somebody might use the word hustle. Somebody might say they're a kingdom builder, you know, whatever it is. But really what we're just saying is there's a way, there's a process to do this that doesn't leave us strung out and exhausted and burnt out. There's a way to do it partnering with God that lets us maintain that level and keep building for him ourselves.
I say at the end of every podcast, God made you ambitious, but he didn't make you to do business or life really as usual. Like he didn't make you for chaos. He tells us that in scripture in so many places. I think it's, you know, 2 Timothy 1:7, right? He did not give us a spirit of chaos. He didn't make us to work that way. And it's okay that you are ambitious. Okay, Lord, so show me how to do this in a way that glorifies you. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And the reason that I believe that my coaching, or any Christian business coach, but I can only speak for myself, the reason that I believe that there is value there is because we were not meant to walk this out by ourselves, right? And so I'm not trying to be God. I'm simply like using my hindsight to be somebody's foresight with God's insight and standing beside people to say, no, you can do this. And these are great ideas. And yes, you can provide these services and this value, et cetera. Let's make sure that we're basing it all on where God is leading you and that you're willing to do all the strategy work and all the planning and whatever. But you're also willing to lay it at his feet, because at any moment he may shift you, because he already knows what chapter 22 of your life is, right? And he's got to position you. And we've got to allow him to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's so good. And I hope some of the listeners listening can relate to this, but also maybe can breathe a sigh of relief hearing this conversation and just saying like, okay, like there is another way. Like I don't have to strive in a way that's exhausting. You know, there is another way. And I agree with you though about community, you know, both in our lives, but in business building, we're not meant to do it alone, you know, because that's a lonely place to be, you know?
And
so I love that you, you know, one, have a community, of course, but two, that you talk about the importance of it, because we do need people. We need sounding boards, you know, of people that we trust and we know, you know, are doing the same work or have been there or whatnot. So I think that's really important to mention as well.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, what would be maybe the last, what kind of encouragement would you, you know, words of encouragement would you just like to leave the listeners with for this episode?
Well, I'll repeat one thing that I just said, which is God made you ambitious, whatever that looks like for you, but he did not make you to do life or business as usual. You were not made to do business in life the way the world tells you to, right? So please, mom, know that you don't have to keep up with everybody and you don't have to have your kids enrolled in all the things. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're getting the side eye because, you know, you didn't show up with the fully baked, you know, you got the cookies from the store instead of baking them yourselves, like whatever. Glorify the Lord, glorify the Lord. And then the second thing that I also say on my podcast is it is time for us to tune out the world, which is hard. But just imagine you're putting on noise-canceling headphones and you're tuning out the world, and then you're tuning into God's truth. What does he say about you? Who does he say you are? What is the work he has given you to do, right? And when you tune into that truth, then you can turn up your focus to do the work or to be in the role and serve in the ways that he's given you to serve. So tuning out the world, tuning into God's truth and turning up focus. The Lord is never, ever, ever going to leave you where he's brought you. Like, he has great and amazing kingdom impacting plans for you. If you will take a moment, and whether that's rest or taking a deep breath or whatever that looks like for you, if you will take a moment and say, Lord, lead me, use me, I am yours.
Absolutely. I mean, so much of what you just said, everything, like, even, you know, I still have a son in high school, so he has soccer, you know, but it's like when all three of my kids played sports, there'd be some weeks where it'd be like 12 sporting events, you know, and that's just not, my husband was a coach for three of the teams, so he would be at everything. But I'm like, at some point I had to be like, enough's enough. Like 10 is my max, like, or, you know, but other parents might be like, oh, you missed the game. And I'm kind of like, I have to listen to myself at some
point. That's right.
This is what I most need. And so for one, whether that's in your personal life or business, it's so important to not just let keeping up with the Joneses be your litmus test, because I have to sometimes say, you know, what I really need is I worked really hard today and then I just made dinner and like, I just don't have it in me to go to a 3-hour soccer game, but I already went to three other ones in the last 5 days. Like that's enough, right? And my husband's there, he's representing. And so from that, you know, what you said, I think that's important for women to know, like, some of us do say no, like we've learned that it's okay. And you just have to listen to it. Does God want you there? Do you need to be there for anybody or anything? Or can you take a break sometimes? And it's okay. We don't, as parents, we don't have to be at everything. And then too, like you said, stepping into the work we're supposed to do. I have so many conversations with women where whatever you did in your past, whether you worked corporate or you're a stay-at-home mom, you know, my interview yesterday was with an author who's now written three fiction, a trilogy of fiction books. She's never had any writing experience, but God put it on her heart to try to write, you know, but there's so many stories of this where her books are Christian fiction. So people that like fiction are going to be introduced to God in scripture in her books. And so no matter what you did in the past, you know, God's going to call us to things where we don't have the experience or weren't equipped. And that's okay. You know, even in your business, as you hit different levels, you're going to be somewhere you've never been before. And that's scary and that can be hard. And you maybe don't know the strategy, but then that's why we get help from other people and we get his guidance. And so I love that you shared all of that. And it's just so good.
Yeah. And Kristen, I just want to say one more thing about the levels, because we hear so often in the world, new level, new devil. Listen, friends, I want to challenge us to say new level, deeper faith.
Absolutely.
Because where he is taking you, like, it's no accident he's taking you there. It may not make any sense to you. Mm-hmm. Like, let's think about the saints in the Bible, right? I mean, come on. But he is never going to leave you or forsake you. He equips and qualifies you in ways that you just don't even understand. Yeah. And so I just challenge us to, and when we hit those places where he's taking us to a new level, just deepening our faith.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the point, is you should expect it, whether it's in your parenting, you're going to hit a new challenge with kids at different ages. In your business, it's going to be, you know, different challenges you're going to have there. Right. So whatever it is, we're going to learn and then grow through it. Right. Like you said, we just have to have faith. So I love that. So Erin, can you share with us, where can people find out about your podcast and your book and all of your programs and how can they?
Yeah. So best place to find all of that is my website, erinharrigan.com. I have a new audio devotional that I recently released. So you'll see that there at the top of the page. And I like to hang out on Instagram and LinkedIn. So you can find me there, Erin D. Harrigan on Instagram. And just after you listen to this, like, shoot me a DM. Let me know how I can pray for you or how this impacted you. I love to hear how God's message through me impacts people, because I'm always surprised at like who it reaches.
Absolutely. I love it. Well, thank you for coming on and joining us today. I really appreciate it. Oh, what a great episode. I loved the conversation with Erin. I hope that you got many things out of the episode today that you can
really let sink in or apply to your life, or maybe just make a small change or have a, you know, a mindset shift in some way. And I wanted to wrap up today's episode with you by sharing two excerpts or quotes from two different books. The first is from Chase the Lion with Mark Batterson, who I've just recently shared. And here's what it says. It's about success being defined. He says, "We live in a culture that idolizes success and demonizes failure. But in God's kingdom, the outcome isn't the issue. Success isn't winning or losing. It's obeying. It's honoring God, whether you're in the red or in the black. It's praising God, whether you win the election or lose it. It's giving God the glory, whether you're in the win column or the loss column. I've never met anybody who doesn't want to be successful, but very few people have actually defined success for themselves. So by default, they buy into the culture's definition of success instead of God's definition. In God's book, success is spelled stewardship. It's making the most of the time, talent, and treasure God has given you. It's doing the best you can with what you have, where you are." And then he goes on to say, "Here's my personal definition of success. When those who know you best respect you most. Success starts with those who are closest to you. At the end of the day, I want to be famous in my house." And by the way, it's hard to be famous in your house if you're never home. "If you succeed at the wrong thing, you failed. If you fail at the right thing, you've succeeded." And I just think that's such a beautiful way to think about success, much like Aaron talked to us about hustle and redefining hustle. We need to make sure that our definition of hustle, our definition of being ambitious, and our definition of success are all lining up with God's definition of those things, not what the world has led us to believe are important. And it doesn't mean that we can't want to achieve more, but we need to not let that be the benchmark. We need that not to be the focus. The focus is on showing up and serving the people that are in our lives and being a good steward. Okay, the other thing that I wanted to share with you is, this is from Bob Goff in his book, Dream Big. And he is talking about being ambitious, but also knowing that sometimes accomplishing things and being ambitious isn't just about doing the work. It's about knowing when to rest. And that's sort of the concept. And so since we talked about a similar idea today, I wanted to share this part with you. He says, "Any person I've ever known who's chased and accomplished an ambition knew that some days were about gathering strength instead of exerting it. Make no mistake, it's easy to confuse a lot of activity with a bunch of progress. Rest is wise, preparation is wisdom. Don't think that taking care of yourself, lying down for a nap, lounging in the hammock, or sitting on the park bench means you're slacking. Stop reading the junk mail telling you this. You're not a startup and you don't sleep under your desk. You're on a mission, but you're not lazy when you rest. You're plotting your next moves and giving yourself the strength and perspective needed to finish the course. The path to your ambitions is not one long race. It's a series of wind sprints that eventually covers the distance of a marathon. There's a reason sprinters don't break world records in 5,000 meter races. They stayed focused and run their short race, then rest before their next one. People who refuse to rest eventually run out of steam. They get sick or procrastinate or rationalize the defeat. The reason for their failure is simple. They're winded. Their constant activity actually has them sleepwalking again. They know they don't have the energy to see it through, and they start deferring their ambitions. Part of the process of realizing your ambitions is recognizing when you need a break. If a break is what you need, take one. It's not just okay, it's smart. Get as much rest as you need. You'll know when it's time to be fully awake and get back to work." Oh my gosh. I love that. I love how he says it. And I have to tell you, it kind of gave me goosebumps when I read it. Truly, it did today. So I hope it hits home for you like it did for me as I spoke those words. But I just want to encourage you, if you have big ambitions, much like Aaron and I talked about on the show, whether that's in your personal life, in your volunteer life, or in building your career or building a business, right? It is your mission to grow and nurture the thing that you have been called to work on in the season. And I just hope that you'll find the community and the support you'll get in God's word. You will make sure that you deepen your connection with him and that you will make sure you rest and you get the support you need when you need it so that you can show up and keep stepping into that beautiful mission and being ambitious as you do it, being who God called you to be. And if this episode touched you or it really had an impact on you or something spoke to you, I'd love to hear about it. Send me an email. It's Kristen@KristenFitch.com, or you can use my contact page on my website. I also wanted to let you know, if you have not signed up for my weekly email yet, go over to KristenFitch.com and sign up. You can either get my Reignite Your Passion for Life workbook for free as a thank you. You just go to my homepage and it's right there. Or you can go to KristenFitch.com/devotional and you can get my Joyful Living devotional journal right now if you sign up for my email newsletter. And I would love for you to be part of our community beyond the podcast. So go check that out right now before you get busy with the next thing and your next ambition. Thanks again for listening to the show. And if you enjoyed today's episode, we would love it if you could take a minute to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, because it helps our show get discovered by more people. And if you'd like to be encouraged in your faith and in your life, go on to KristenFitch.com and sign up to get my newsletter. I have lots of freebies and lots of inspiration and encouragement that'll be coming your way. And I would love it if you joined part of our community.